Well, good morning, everyone. I want to share with you today a message that I believe will help us. And I've entitled it, Getting to the Other Side. Getting to the Other Side. Life is full of transitions where we are on one side and we have to get to the other side of something. And sometimes it's simple things. We want to get to the other side of an exam, or we want to get to the other side of a job interview, or maybe we just need to get through a tough time with a cold. There are minor transitions where we have to go through something to get to the other side. And yet, sometimes it's more major. It's how do I get to the other side of this marital problem that I'm in? How do I get to the other side of this major health issue that I have? How do I get to the other side of a job interview? And probably the major one, how do I get to the other side of a death that I've had to experience? And so I believe there's some principles and some truths we can understand this morning on how to get to the other side. Now, there's a portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus had his disciples go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were on one side and he sent them to get to the other side. And as they moved to the other side, they had to go through this transition. Now, I want just to work our way through this story in the life of the disciples and Jesus and to see how they managed to get to the other side. And I believe it'll help us how we manage to get to the other side of matters and situations and transitions that we face. So let's look at Matthew 14. In verse 22, and it says this, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And here's your first point. We can unexpectedly be compelled to go to the other side. It wasn't our choice. It wasn't our expectation. We were compelled. Here Jesus compels his disciples to go to the other side. Sometimes changes come in our life and they're unexpected. And they come up quickly and they come up suddenly. And sometimes it's in the midst of a good time. Here the disciples had just experienced Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. They saw 5,000 people fed. And that didn't count the women and the children. And it was a glorious time. It was a marvelous time. They were reveling in this moment. But it says here, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat to go to the other side. Many times the transitions we go through were not our choice. And we are leaving something that we feel is good. Something that's been a success. But we're compelled to go to the other side. Interestingly, Jesus sent them on and said, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to send the multitudes away. The multitudes were the people that were just fed. It was like the afterglow of this great miracle. But the disciples are called upon to leave that, leave it with Jesus to send the multitudes away and to get to the other side. Many times in transitions, we are leaving something that's good and we're going to something that's unknown and we think probably is less. So let's see what the next verse says. Matthew 14 and verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And here's the point. And here's the truth we need to understand. While acting in obedience, winds can be contrary. So they're obeying the Lord. They wasn't their choice. They didn't really necessarily want to. But they're in the boat. They're going to the other side. But now it's not a pleasant time. I mean, under the best of circumstances, this voyage across the sea is not comfortable. I mean, it's unstable. They're on the sea. They're in a boat. They're in a fluid situation. There's the gentle rocking of the boat, and they're not on solid ground. They were on solid ground, but now they're on something that is moving, and they're being rocked back and forth. Now, that's bad enough, but now the winds have come up. The winds are contrary. It's blowing against them, and the waves are rolling back and forth across them. And, you know, this is how we are many times in transitions. We were in a situation that was familiar. We had our feet sort of solidly planted. We sort of knew our bearings. But now God unexpectedly has caused us to go on this journey, this transition. And we're uncertain. And not only that, but now things are going bad. Winds are blowing against us. This is not easy. So we just need to understand that during transitions, even at God's leading, it doesn't mean there's an absence of difficulties. You can be obeying God, and yet there is an unease, and situations are not what you want them to be. There's twists and turns, and there's ups and downs that's actually causing you a seasickness. You become nauseated. You feel like you want to bring up. You're not comfortable. And this is just something that happens many times in our life when we're trying to get to the other side of something that we didn't choose, but it seems like the Lord has directed us to do. Now that brings us to Matthew 14, verses 23 and verse 25. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. So Jesus, rather than immediately following the disciples, he withdraws to pray. And then verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. The fourth watch of the night. That's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. This is the final watch of the night. And it's interesting as you look at Mark's account of this. It said that the disciples were rowing. They were straining, rowing, and they had done this for 3 to 4 miles. They're rowing. They're trying to combat the winds and the waves. And it says in Mark's account that Jesus saw them. It's like Jesus knew. And so here's the point. When Jesus seems absent, he is still aware. There are going to be times as you're going through transitions where you wonder where Jesus is. I mean, he's not on the boat. Before they had gone through storms, but Jesus was on the boat. Now he was sleeping, but he was still on the boat. Now they're facing something, and they're straining, and they're trying to overcome, and they're trying to get through this, but Jesus isn't there. And how many times do we feel that way? We feel like we're doing what God wants us to do. We're being compelled to do this. And things are going wrong. And it just seems like Jesus is nowhere to be found. It's in those moments you need to realize he is aware of your situation. God never leaves us. He doesn't forsake us. You may not sense his presence like you did in the past. They were used to seeing his physical presence, but somehow in the spirit, Jesus being on this mountain praying, he could still see them, and he was aware of their situation. And it says in Mark's account that when he saw it, he went to them. Now we could ask ourselves, well, why wasn't Jesus there from the beginning? I mean, why did they have to go through this? I mean, this was a long time. They're on the boat. They're rowing against the winds, and they're trying to overcome the waves. I mean, they've done this throughout the night. I mean, this is not a momentary thing. This is something that's been going on for a long time. And sometimes that's how we feel. It's like we feel like God isn't aware of the situation. I'm handling this. We're praying. We're crying out to God. But we don't seem to see the answer. And it doesn't come in our time frame. This is how we're going to get to the other side. Just know he's aware, and you keep rowing. You keep pressing forward. And it might be through some hours of the night, and your arms may be tired in the rowing, but it's all part of God's plan. But why? You know, I was thinking about this, and just like a teacher who teaches a lesson and then sends the pupils home with problems to work on. So how do you apply this lesson that I've taught you, and how do you apply them to these problems? And it's in the working of the problem that you learn and understand the principles. And I don't understand, but every test and exam I've ever had, the teacher wasn't there to instruct me during the exam. It was just, here's the exam, I'm to write this, and I've been taught, but now it's for me to pull on what I've learned, to apply what I have to this situation. And I don't know why and how it all works, but somehow in the process of rowing and straining through the night, not sensing the Lord's there with you, and yet he is, that it causes us to grow and mature in our faith, and our character is developed in ways that you could not imagine. Just know if he's compelled you to get on the boat and to go to the other side, no matter what you're facing through that time, he knows about it, and you just need to persevere. Now that brings us to Matthew 14 and verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, because Jesus was coming towards them, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid." Now, the principle here is that during the storm, your perceptions are impaired. They're in the storm, Jesus is coming to them, he is in the process of working it out, but now they see him coming, but they don't realize it's him. They misinterpret and say, and they say, it's a ghost. And now all their superstitions and all their fears and anxieties come to the surface. And they're so afraid in the situation now. It seems like it's gotten worse when actually Jesus is coming to solve the problem for them. Now hear me today. This happens so many times in our life. We're going through something. We're going through a situation. We've cried out to God, but now it seems like something has come up. This apparition has come up before us. And something is transpiring, but we misinterpret what it is. We think it's evil. We think it's a ghost. It's something that's threatening us, something that's going to take away our peace, and it's going to be destructive to us. And that's when you just have to trust God. And say, you know what? Hear his voice in the midst of it. And he's going to cry out to you and he's going to say, be of good cheer. I mean, don't get down under this. It is I. Do not be afraid. You need to hear that still, small voice of the Lord in the midst of storms when all your fears, your past fears, and all the things that are baggage in your life, and it comes to the surface. See, maybe that's why the storm's there. He's bringing all these things to the surface so that you can hear his voice. It's okay. It's okay. It's me. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Have you ever experienced that? In the midst of a fear, actually God is there bringing something good out of it. I've shared with you before about the time I was interviewed on the radio on a social event that was happening, some issue, and they called me, a secular radio station, to get my opinion on this. And I remember being so nervous and speaking and fumbling. And, you know, they were gracious to get me through this. Thankfully, it was being recorded. And afterwards, I mean, it was a very short interview because I started breathing heavily and I was hyperventilating. And it was all because I was nervous and afraid of speaking on the radio. All these people were going to hear me. And I felt like a failure at the end of it. And then a few years later, not that long after, we had the opportunity to do a radio program. Well, all those fears come to the surface. Oh, I can't do this. This is terrible. It's terrible. But somehow in the midst of it, I heard the Lord say, it's okay. This is opportunity I've given you. You need to step out into this. And as I did, now we minister to the radio, on the radio 5 days a week. And I don't have that fear and I don't have that anxiety. But it was there in the moment. And it's like a ghost, this apparition comes up, frightening you. How many times have you had that happen in your life? And you've given in to it. You need to just hear the voice of the Lord say, no, it's me, it's me. I'm here, I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid. Now that brings us to the next verse, Matthew 14 and verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now here's the point. You can walk above your circumstances. You can walk above the storm, the waves. It's something supernatural. You couldn't do it in the natural. Your mind would say this is impossible. But somehow as the Lord is there in the situation and he beckons you to come to him, you respond and you step out of the boat and you trust the Lord. And you actually walk on top of your circumstances. Reminds me of a saying when someone says to you, well, how are you doing? And you say, well, I'm not doing too well under the circumstances. And the answer is, what are you doing under the circumstances? You're not meant to be under the circumstances. With the things that come to you, the situations you go through, the things that you hear, the matters that you face, they can overwhelm you and they can swamp you and they can try to bury you and drown you. But you have to trust the Lord. You have to say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. And Peter actually stepped out into the water. He stepped out on the thing that he thought was going to drown him. They were afraid. They were fearful. The water's going to overwhelm us. And yet Jesus says, come. And actually he steps out by faith to walk on the waters that he had before been afraid was going to drown him. Oh, I wish that God will just drive this deep into your hearts. Satan wants to stop you from going forward. He wants to stop you from being effective in your ministry and in your life and in situations of your life. And you just need to hear God's voice and you need to be able to step out in faith. Step out. I was reading something that I think it was posted on Facebook. Somewhere I saw it. It was something that Andy Stanley had written or posted. And I just want to read it to you because it really speaks to this issue. He said, sometimes I just want it all to stop. The talk about COVID, the looting, the brutality. I just lose my way in the midst of it. And don't we feel that way sometimes? You know, we're going through this time of COVID, all the rioting, the American election, all this, and it's just like, Sometimes we just want it to stop. We just want it to be over. We just want to get to the other side. Now, this, I'm just expanding on what he wrote here. And he says, I become convinced that this new normal is destructive of real life. So that, you know, we're in this situation and we're so battered by all the things that's happening around us that it's really destructive to our life. Listen to what he says. Then I met an 87-year-old who talks of living through polio, diphtheria, Vietnam protests, and yet he is still enchanted with life. He's gone through all this, but he's still excited about life. He seemed surprised when I said that 2020 must be especially challenging for him. No, he said. Slowly looking straight into my eyes, I learned a long time ago to not see the world through the printed headlines of the paper. Listen, don't see the world through the printed headlines of the paper. This man went on to say, I see the world through the people that surround me. I would add this. You need to see the world through the lens of faith, hope, and love. Not by the headlines that Satan would write or editors would write or other people say. You need to let the headlines of your perception of things be written by faith, hope, and love. What's faith? We talked about this last week. Faith is believing that God is in control and he's going to bring good out of this. He's in control of it. I can have faith. I'm going through it, but my faith is in God. Hope, the confident expectation that things are going to get better. We hope in God. God is in control. He's working something out of this. And then love. Love is every day I act towards people in a way for their benefit, giving of myself to meet their needs and to accomplish God's purposes. I want to show God's love to people. So I need to face every situation, every storm I'm going through with faith that God is in control, hope things are going to get better, and I live my life in love benefiting others. So this man went on to say, therefore, I choose to write my own headlines. This man's saying, I don't read the headlines in the paper. I choose to write my own headlines. Husband loves wife today. What a headline that would be. Family drops everything to come to grandma's bedside. Now that's a headline that the world's not going to write. But you're living it out and you can see faith, hope, and love in things and write headlines according to them. Then Andy Stanley goes on. Then he patted my hand. Old man makes new friend. His words collide with my worries, freeing them from the tether I had been holding tight. They float away. I am left with a renewed spirit and a new way to write my own headlines. Wow. This is how you're going to walk above your circumstances. You need to write your own headlines. Now that takes us to Matthew 14 and verse 30 as we're working our way through this story, how the disciples got to the other side. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, this is Peter, he's walking on the water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Now here's the teaching principle from this. Your focus determines the success or failure of your walk. When he stepped out of that boat and his eyes were on Jesus, he walked on the water. But then it said he began to see, he saw that the winds were boisterous. He saw the waves rolling. He probably saw this wave rolling towards him. And how am I going to handle this? And when his focus shifted from the Lord to his circumstances, he began to sink. Now, this is what can happen with us. We have to keep a continual focus on the Lord as we transition to the other side. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you either set your mind, set your focus on the things of the flesh, the things that you see around you, or you set your minds on the things of the Spirit, that God is in control, spiritual truths, His Word. You set your mind on these things. Here's how the Phillips translation gives this verse in Romans 8 and verse 5. The carnal attitude sees no further than natural things, but the spiritual attitude reaches out after the things of the Spirit. I remember hearing a man say years ago, the look saves, the gaze sanctifies. And what he meant by that, when you look to Jesus, that look, that consciousness of the Lord, and you give your life to Him, that saves you. You're saved because you have looked and gazed on Jesus. But the gaze, which is a continual focus, the gaze sanctifies. So you can be saved, you've looked to the Lord, and you've experienced salvation, but now you let your eyes turn to circumstances and what other people say, and you start reading the headlines of what Satan's writing in your life, and your gaze gets shifted away from the Lord, and then you begin to sink. We need to turn our eyes back towards Jesus. I remember a song that meant so much to me as I was growing up, and we used to sing it all the time at church. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. There's so much truth in that song. Now that brings us to the last verses of the disciples crossing over. Matthew 14, verses 31 to 33. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him. As Peter began to sink, Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now here is your final point. The experiences we go through bring us closer to God. It was an ordeal they went through. But they got through it and they came to the other side and they worshiped God. They praised God. He was in control. They were fearful. They handled it. Peter had the experience of walking on the water, and they got to the other side and they knew the Lord better. This is how we need to realize our journey's going to end. You will get to the other side. You're going to see God in the midst of the situation. You're going to see His miraculous power work in your life. And you're going to get to the other side. You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it tells us how Jesus got through the cross. How He got to the other side of the cross. Listen to what it says here in Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He got through the cross and He came and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did He do it? Because there was a faith in Him. And it says this faith that Jesus had, He's the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, He initiates the faith in us and He's the perfect ending of our faith. Now there might be some failures in between. I mean, Peter's gaze moved. He began to sink, but Jesus picked him up. But you need to realize the faith you have, Jesus is the author of your faith. He's the initiator of your faith, and he's also the finisher of your faith. Listen to these final verses in different translations. Here's Hebrews 12:2. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for them, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he's now seated at the right side of God's throne. That's the Good News translation. Now listen to what it says in the Message, these same verses. It's an admonition straight to us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I'm praying this morning that this message will shoot adrenaline into your souls, that you can go through whatever you're going through. You can get to the other side. You're going to be better off. You're going to experience God in that journey through the situation you're in. And let this message and the story of the disciples going to the other side shoot adrenaline into your soul. One final verse, Romans 12 and verse 2. It's from the Phillips. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Let that word settle in your heart. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't read its headlines. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's going to bring you through to the other side. Let's pray together. Father, may this word be encouraging to us. Lord, we go through circumstances that's not at our choosing. Sometimes we're just compelled to do things by your Spirit. And in the midst of it, we face difficulties and our faith is tested. But Lord, I pray that we'll be strong and we'll trust you and see you come in the midst of our fears and Lord, bring us to the other side. Lord, you know what people are facing here this morning as they're listening. You know the transition they're going through, the circumstance that they're facing. I ask, Lord, that they would have fresh faith and confidence that you're going to bring them to the other side and they'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.